Hey, welcome to the sermon series from Life Church Green Bay. It's our mission to bring the life-giving message of Jesus to the 920 and beyond. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time joining us, we want to do life with you. While you're listening, fill out the hello card on our website so we can connect with you. Visit lifechurchgreenbay.com/hello to fill it out. Make sure to check the I'm new here and online options while filling out the card. Again, we're so glad you're with us today. Here's this week's message.
All right. Good morning. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you have not downloaded the Bible app yet, we'd love for you to do that. It's a free app that you could put on your smartphone that has, so many different versions to read, plans to do by yourself or do with others. But also, if you click on events in the More tab, you find Life Church Green Bay and all the notes. All the scriptures that we're going to have on the side screen will be there also. And if you want a physical Bible, we're going to have that at the Info Center on your way out, along with a free devotional that we have every month for you to grab there also. If you're watching online, hey, welcome. I'm so glad you're here watching, and I am so glad you guys are here as we are in this series on 1 Corinthians. So this week, my wife Shelby and I went to this really great one-day conference. It's a conference I'm going to be talking about soon, and we're preparing for that. But this conference happened to be in New York. And my wife's never been to New York before, and she was pretty excited about it. I mean, makes sense. It's New York, the Big Apple, the city that never sleeps, the place of Broadway shows, Pizza by the Slice, the Statue of Liberty. I mean, New York has it all. New York also has the worst traffic I've ever been in my entire life. Driving in New York is insane. I mean, there is like traffic after traffic, stop after stop. I mean, they have exits everywhere, on the right, on the left, above you, below you. It's just crazy. And we're using our GPS, and as we're using GPS, it gives us recommendations. I see you're in traffic, and I have found another route that might save you some time. And of course, I was like, okay, and I pressed the button only to take that route and be in more traffic. Side note, in the past, I may have made a joke about how Wisconsin has a lot of roundabouts. But can I be honest with you? New York needs some roundabouts. Because there were so many traffic lights, like everywhere. And for some reason, every time I was driving, they were always on red. And so there's this moment where we're driving and I look at my wife who is kind of like sick, which, oh yeah, I also saw my GPS said that it was gonna take us 25 minutes to get 2.5 miles. I was like, what is happening? So I look at her, she's kind of like, you know, doing the, oh my dear, like she's kind of, you know, wafting herself. And I said, hey, what do you think of New York? And she said, it's scary and I'm good. I don't need to come back. And I bring all that because I wonder if people look at Christianity that way. I wonder if they look at it and they're told, and I've told, and pastors have told, hey, Jesus is the best. He is the greatest thing you can have in your life. You need a welcome in your life. You're like, okay, cool, I'll do that. And then as you do that and you become this Jesus person, then all of a sudden you're trafficked with temptation after temptation after temptation. You're asking yourself, is this all worth it? Or should I just say, you know what? I'm good. I don't really want this faith anymore. And I want to talk about that today in a message I'm calling Lead Us Through Temptation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you because you lead us through temptation. Lord, you lead us through to freedom. And I pray, Lord, as we are going through your word, as we're going through your scriptures, we would be reminded that you will lead us through. So, Lord, I pray that people would not just hear the word, but they live out the word, and they would be motivated and empowered by the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I read somewhere this week that the odds of meeting someone who has something in common are probably like 1 in 200,000. But I know something I have in common with every single person in this room, and that's we all go through temptation. Temptation is defined as a desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. And temptation isn't this one size fits all thing, but it comes in all shapes and sizes. I mean, if you think about it, along with our thoughts, temptation affects all of our senses. You can be tempted by what you look at, what you smell, what you hear, what you taste, what you touch can be affected by temptation. And this isn't just a some believer issue. This is an all believer issue. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So we all deal with temptation. And before I even talk about how we need to get through temptation, I really want to address the things that I think become misconceptions. Three misconceptions about temptation, because these are really important. Number one is this: the misconception that temptation is sin. 1 Peter 2:22 says, he, who is Jesus, committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And you go, okay, why is that scripture important? We have to remember, in the Gospels, we find out that Jesus was tempted. And if he had no sin and there was no sin in him, then temptation isn't a sin. The only way temptation becomes a sin is when you give in to it. But temptation itself isn't a sin. Martin Luther said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. So again, it's not a sin unless we allow it to be a part of our lives. Here's number two: temptation is a sign of immaturity, where people say, man, I'm being tempted. Man, I wish I was more mature so I wouldn't be tempted. And there's two things we have to understand about that. Number one, you'll never outgrow temptation. As much as that might sound disappointing, here's the reality. Why are we being tempted? There must be something in us that the devil hates. And therefore, he's trying to tempt you to get you to walk away from the God that's living in you. So what is in you that the devil wants out of you? That's the number one thing we have to remember, is that yes, temptation is not because we're immature. In fact, temptation will come as we are maturing. And number two, again, Jesus was tempted. And I don't think the scriptures have ever said that Jesus is immature. Even at 12, he was mature. Like, it's insane. Here's number three: temptation makes us weaker. James chapter 1 actually goes against that. It says in verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, including temptation, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect, complete, needing nothing. I love that. Rick Warren said, character development always requires a choice, and temptation provides that opportunity. So no, it doesn't make us weaker. Temptations make us stronger. Because as they come, it should cause us to go to God more and more and remind ourselves, you know, no, this temptation is not going to make me weaker. It's going to actually make me grow stronger. It's going to build an endurance in me. It's going to give me a character that I need as I'm continuing to walk in Jesus. So when we don't give in temptation, it'll make us stronger. And I always wonder, why do you think God allows temptation? I think it is to strengthen us. I mean, think about it. Maybe God's trying to strengthen your love by tempting you with unloving people. Or maybe he's trying to strengthen our peace by having us go through things that don't go according to plan. Or maybe he strengthens our patience by giving us children. Like, maybe these are all temptations that God is trying to build out of us. Now, temptations along with trial will give us opportunities to develop strong endurance that will grow to a place where you need nothing. All you need is Jesus. So with that out of the way, how do we get through temptations? Like, how do we get through it? Because we can't get around it. We can't get under it. We have to go through it, because if we don't go through it, we'll give into it. And God wants us to go through it. And I think the biggest problem we have with temptation is we feed temptation. It's kind of like, feed me, Seymour. Give me more and more. And the more we feed temptation, the bigger it gets. So the reality is, we have to starve temptation. We have to get it smaller and weaker in our lives so it becomes nothing and we can easily go through it. So if you're taking notes, I think there's four ways to starve temptation. Four ways where we can make it less and less in our lives so that we can go through it with ease. Here's number one. We starve temptation by not giving temptation our time. I think we give more temptation more time than it deserves. I think sometimes we'll think about a temptation more than we actually are in the temptation. Or also, like, how many of us have thought about a temptation and given it more time than we have in prayer? I know I have. I know there's been moments where I've been tempted with a thought, with an insecurity, with something, and I have to stop and go, wait a minute. Why am I doing this? God, sorry that I didn't come to you instantly. Who can do all things in my life and in my mind. So God, I surrender to you in this temptation because I don't want to give it more time. So how do we give temptation no more of our time? Well, I think we do it by refocusing and relocating. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that gives you evil thoughts that young men often have, but stay close to anything that makes you want to do what's right. God doesn't want you to battle temptations. He doesn't want you to have a one-on-one fist fight with temptations. He wants you to run. When a temptation comes, don't go, I got this, God. No, God says, run, just go. And that's what he wants to do. Don't give it any more time it deserves. That means when temptation comes to your mind, like change the channel physically, mentally, just change your thoughts. Don't give it any more time. When a group is tempting you, maybe they're saying something that kind of sounds like gossip. Don't just stay in and go, oh, I gotta pray for them. No. Get out of the group. If you're tempted by something on the media where you see something, you're like, why am I? Oh, yeah, it's media. Turn it off. Like, God doesn't need you to know all the headlines. He's not up in heaven going, you don't know what's happening right now? You don't need to know what's happening right now, especially if it tempts you to fear, if it tempts you to insecurities, if it tempts you to anger, get it out. Don't be a part of it. Don't give it more time. Here's the thing with temptation. Don't hope it stops. Make it stop. Just make it. Shelby and I were youth pastors in California, and our first youth retreat we took them to was Las Vegas, because that's where I was from, and I knew there was this great youth conference that we took, and we had like 8 youth kids at the time, so we're in a van we rented, and as we're getting closer and closer to Las Vegas, you know, I was born and raised there. I know the kind of billboards it has, and so I said, hey guys, look in the rear view, I just want you to know, there might be some billboards that are a little revealing. So if that happens, I think we just gotta bounce our eyes. Like, what do you mean? I said, if you see it on your right, just bounce to the left. If you see it on the left, just bounce to the right. Sure enough, state line, first billboard's like, welcome to Las Vegas, revealing. And I said, all right, guys, bounce your eyes. But the funny thing is, as I'm driving, I'm just kind of looking at the road, and I'm not really looking at the billboard, and I just hear someone in the background go, keep bouncing! But that's the reality. We gotta keep bouncing. You can't give temptation more time than it needs. Bounce in prayer, bounce to the word, bounce to, get out of it. Don't give it more time, just keep bouncing. Here's number two, we starve temptations by not isolating temptation. We can't get better on our own. And I'm not saying that you need to come and broadcast your temptations. I'm not saying that you have to go in the lobby and say, this is what I'm struggling with. No, but I'm saying is that temptations don't need to be something that you deal with on your own. And the Bible shows this in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. See, some temptations are overcome when you welcome people into your life by hearing from you, praying for you, and keeping you accountable. I used to have this weird thing about accountability partners. I think I didn't do it the right way the first time. I was in this youth ministry, and The pastor said, hey, everyone needs an accountability partner. I was like, okay, I can do that. So I went to the one person I don't know and said, will you be my accountability partner? And they were like, uh-huh. And I don't know why. We like didn't know each other. And all of a sudden, it just felt like I had like a parole officer. Like he would just call me and he'd go, hey, did you sin today? And I'm like, no. He's like, cool, bye. And he'd hang up. Like that was it. Call me the next day. Hey, and he's sinning today? And I'm like, I don't think so. Cool, bye. And that was my accountability partner. And God doesn't want accountability that way. Accountability needs to come out of relationships. It needs to come out of people who care enough to just do more than a phone call. Like it needs to be people that want to do life with you, who aren't going to look at you and be disgusted by something that you are being tempted with. And that's why I say it all the time. We got to go beyond Sunday. Like we got to go beyond Sunday when it comes to serving. And here's the thing. I haven't really pushed on this enough, but serving isn't an option. Like serving is a requirement. Here's how I know. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Like he said it. Now, if you've been at our church for under 6 months, I'm not talking to you. But that's because here's the reality. People under 6 months, they always come. And like they barely know Jesus, but they want to serve. I'm talking about people who have been at this church longer than I have that have been just checking in and checking out. Here's a great thing I love is we have a card where you could take notes on one side and get involved on the other side. And here's the thing, I don't want you to think about it. I want you to go, you know what? God's called me to serve. God's called me, it's not called serve us, it's called service. It's not, okay, how can this church bless me? No, how can I be a blessing to this church? How can this church serve me? No, how can I be of service to this church? And here's what I'll tell you. Here's what I'll tell you. If you go, I don't know, is there enough? Yeah, there's always enough room. And if there isn't, we'll make more things to do. Because I don't want to steal a serving requirement and a serving opportunity from you. Get out of the way of you and let God do something in you. That's all I'm saying. Ooh, that's the Holy Spirit moving through me. Don't get mad. But if you're gonna send an email, that's all right. But I'm telling you, God will not give us more people until we start serving. And God will not bless us with more things until we say, you know what? I'm going to get out of the way of me and let God move through me. And I'm going to be the example he needs me to be. But here's the great thing about all that. Because you're like, what does that have to do with accountability? You will meet people while you're serving. It's not a job. It's not like, all right, get in the corner and type up a form. No, you get to do life with people. You get to serve together with others. I met my wife serving for all you single people. And don't take that like Pastor Dallas, I've been serving for 6 months and she keeps saying no. Then no is no. I'm on a tangent. I'm so sorry. I'm on a tangent. But I really feel strong about this. We gotta go from beyond just attending. We gotta start serving. But you will meet people. You will find people who wanna do life with you, who will keep you accountable and help you to grow from where you are to where God wants you to be. But we also have midweek stuff. We also have our Bible studies, the youth ministry, young adults. There's so many things that you could be a part of and you get to do life with people. And with that comes people who wanna keep you from isolating your temptations. Here's number three. We starve temptations by not putting temptation in the devil's hands. I've heard this. Pastor, the devil's tempting me, man. He's tempting me, which he might. But sometimes we say that with the mindset of, I can't win. I'm being tempted by the devil and I'm gonna lose. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says something different. My Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not might, no, he will flee from you. And temptation should never make us feel like we have to submit to the devil and put the temptation in his hand. Because we have a God living in us, and that God who lives in us gives us the ability to say, I resist you, devil, and he will flee. Now, is it just going, resist the devil? No. But here's what it is. How do we resist the devil? We do what Ephesians tells us. We put on the armor of God. I mean, it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Temptation always starts in the mind. And I love that just like a physical helmet protects our brain, a spiritual helmet of salvation will protect our mind. And here's the reality. We can't say no to the devil until we say yes to Jesus. That's why salvation is always big here. That's why we always do it. People are like, why do we do salvation every week? Because I want to equip people for battle. It's one thing to say resist the devil, but you need to submit to God first. That has to be something where he's with you. He's on you. I think the reason he flees is because he sees the God who's over and he goes, I can't handle that. I'm out. Because he's got a God with him. And so salvation must be something we don't just think about, but we surrender to. But then it says that we also need to equip ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Going back to Jesus being tempted. Here's what I love. With every temptation, Jesus didn't argue. He didn't complain. He combated it with the word of God. He countered every temptation with God's word. And that's why this word has to be something more than just having, but something that's a part of your life. It's something more than just reading, but you begin to know it. You begin to memorize it because those memorized words will be like bullets that you put in the chamber to shoot at the devil when he attacks. So when he tries to give us a temptation, we can say, you know what? The Lord is faithful. He will guard me against the evil one. Lord, Jesus has overcome the world. I have nothing to fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And you just keep hitting him with that. The thief comes only steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life to the full. There are so many scriptures that we can throw at the devil that will cause him to flee. So when the devil comes with temptation, don't submit with fear and defeat, but resist with a God who lives in you and attack by letting God's word speak out of you. Here's number four. We starve temptation by not letting temptation feed our pride. We're all in different stages of our faith. Some of us have only been a believer for a few months and others have been a believer probably longer than many people have been alive in this place. But that doesn't mean that we allow pride and knowledge and self-control cause us to think we're exempt from temptations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the message says this, don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God-confidence. See, just because you're not being tempted by what someone else is being tempted doesn't mean you're exempt from temptation. Just because, you know what, I'm not, all those examples you gave, please, doesn't mean God is still getting us with temptation. And for some of us, that temptation might be pride. Pride convincing you, you know what, I don't need to refocus on anything, I can defeat it. Or you know what, I don't need people in my life, I got it all figured out. Or I don't need to resist the devil, I'll just ignore him. And that pride will tempt you to be further and further. And here's what's going to happen. When we let pride win, we let temptation win, we will fall flat. And that's why we can't let it come up. You're not too grown to be tempted. So don't let pride tell you that. And when we let self-confidence win over God-confidence, you will fall. So don't feed pride with self-confidence. Surrender to God-confidence. And he will help you get the temptations out of your life. I want to close with a story that happened while I was in Israel with my dad. It was a great time. I've probably talked about it a couple times. Loved my tour guide and a couple things he did. He always would bring things back to the Bible. And we're going back to our hotel one day, and all of a sudden he looks in the mirror and goes, hey, do you guys want to take a detour? And everyone said yes but me. They're like, yep. And I was like, well, what does detour mean? And he goes, I want to take you to where they believe might be the valley of the shadow of death. I'm like, okay, I'm in. Until he got off the road into the dirt road. And I saw a guy on a camel with a gun. And I was like, oh gosh. And then he looks at us and goes, oh, by the way, when we park, we're going to have to buy something or they'll steal our stuff. And I'm like, what are we doing? What is happening? So sure enough, we park and there's a boy and a dad. And they're selling fruit drinks and scarves. I bought a scarf. My dad's bought a scarf too. And as we're walking over, he takes us to here. to this place that they think might be the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I wanted to go down. He goes, no, you'll die. There'll be people that'll want to kill you. Because you could see there's a temple up there in that area, and you see little caves and darkness. The valley makes so much sense to me now. It makes sense why the shepherd must take the sheep through the valley. Why? Because that's where all the trees are. Actually, you can't really see it that well, but that's where the water is. That's where all the nourishment is. This is why God has to take us through temptations. Because we could stay up here. We could stay up where it's nice and comfortable, but all it's up there is desert. And we'll dry out and we'll die. And yes, we might get to this point where it's kind of steep and a little scary, and we see people and we're, oh no, what's happening? But the only way we can mature and grow is when we go through the valley towards nourishment. This is why he takes to the valley of the shadow of death. This is why he prepares a table in the presence of his enemies, because that's where the nourishment is. So if you're saying, Pastor, I want to grow in my faith, I want to get more mature, I want Jesus to use me in more ways, then let him take you through stuff. Let him take you through the temptation. Don't give in to the temptation. Resist the devil and he will flee. Let him take you through it with refocusing, with getting a part of people and a community. Let him take you through it so he will strengthen you when you come back out of it to bring people back into it. Why do we have to go through things? Because that's where we get strength. Can I pray with you? So salvation is, it's the helmet that changes and transforms. Salvation is more than just becoming a good person. Salvation is how we become transformed people. That Jesus came, he lived a sinless life, and he became that sacrifice that destroyed the divide between us and God. That we are righteous because of him, meaning we're in right standing because of his sacrifice. And all we need to do is confess and profess. Confess that we've sinned and we need a Savior, and profess that he can be the Lord of our life and the Savior of our life. Lord, meaning I want to give him control. I want him to be the center of all things. And Savior, meaning that I want him to not let me live in guilt and shame, but live in freedom because he took care of it all. So we're going to do the confess first. Everyone head bowed, eyes closed. If you're in here and you're saying, Pastor Dallas, I've never made that decision. I may believe in God. I may recognize God, but I don't have a relationship with God. And I know it comes through Jesus. We're just going to do one of two things. I'm going to have you raise your hand and look at me. And then we're going to say a prayer together. That's the profession. But we're going to say it together. For you, it might be the first time. But others, it's just a good reminder of what God has done in our life. So if that's you or no one looking around, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want him to be my Lord. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to be in my life. Can I just have you raise your hand and look at me real quick? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Right there. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Yep. I see that. Thank you in the back. Okay. Church, let's say this prayer together. Say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for absorbing all the sin. I welcome you into my life to be my Lord, to be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the thing, I don't want this just to be an emotional decision. This is the start of what we call is a Jesus journey. It's a journey. It's going from where you are right now to where God wants you to be. And I know you're like, oh, wait, I just gave my life to Jesus. Does that mean temptations are coming? It might. But that just means because your life is transformed. You're going to look at things differently. You're going to experience things differently because you have a living God living in you. And we want to help you. So please grab that card. Fill out as much information as you're comfortable with. Check that you're choosing to follow Jesus, and we want to help you. I want to help you. I want to send you information. I want to tell you about why we read the Bible, because it's the Word of God. We believe it's alive and active, and it will change and transform us. That prayer is more than just reciting things, but being real and honest with God and being connected with a community of believers is important. And we're a church for anybody, but not everybody. And if this isn't the church for you, that's totally fine. But you gotta find a church that works. Be a part of a community, because we talked about what the enemy may do when we try to isolate ourselves. So find yourself with people, and if this is your community, then you gotta get plugged in. We have our Bible studies for women on Mondays, men on Tuesdays, youth on Wednesdays, young adults every other Thursday. There is something happening every single week that you would love for you to be a part of. If this is the church for you, we want you to be a part of Discover Us right after this service. Well, I got kids. They're gonna love hanging out in kids' ministry, I promise you. But we wanna get to know you, and we want you to get to know us and how you can get plugged in, especially if you're like, I'm tired of you telling me that I need to get involved. All right, I'm getting involved. Do Discover Us today. If anything, scan the QR code, because I don't want you to do life on your own anymore. Can I pray with you one more time? Maybe you're in here and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Dallas, I am a believer, but man, I've been dealing with temptation the wrong way, and I need to do it God's way, not my way. If that's you, can I just have you lift your hand and I can pray with you? Lord, thank you for all these young men and women, old men and women who need help when it comes to temptation, to know that we just need to not give it time. We need to not isolate ourselves. We don't need to put it in the devil's hands, and we don't need pride to grow. So Lord, I pray this would be the week of change. This would be the week of getting things out and bringing people in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. Follow our other podcasts so you can be updated when new episodes are released. We have a wide variety of podcasts to choose from. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next week.